Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I realized in like words in my head that have been getting louder and louder and louder, I love this guy. I love this guy. Here's the sentence that's freaking me out, but not. I'm going to marry him.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I've never felt anything more true to my gut than that.
The story that you're about to hear feels like the perfect romantic comedy. You know, the good old-fashioned Nora Ephron kind. But it's also the perfect romantic comedy for this exact moment in time. Here it is. Girl meets boy on a Peloton bike. But not just any girl, a famous Peloton instructor. And she happens to be charmed by this handsome and adorably nerdy rider. After he messages her to tell her that she got something wrong about his Peloton screen name. Witty banter ensues. There's a close friendship. It's always better when there's a close friendship. And then one night, they both reveal that they are madly in love with each other. She kisses his face. And then boy and girl are locked up together in a New York City apartment during a pandemic. It really writes itself. I'm Joe Piazza, and this is Committed. So as a Peloton bike instructor, you give these things called shout-outs.
My soul on fire, Mama Pumps believed she could. You give me fever, Doc. We've got River Dog, and she who dares wins. I like it.
If you're not familiar with the Peloton bike or how the classes work, it's essentially when an instructor shouts out to a rider during the class if it's their birthday or if they've hit a milestone like a 500th ride. And Christine Dercole, Peloton instructor and cycling world champion, well, she gives really good shout outs.
I was scrolling the leaderboard and just looking for names to pop out and also looking for things that are easy to say. Some of them are complicated.
I'll bet. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them, they're trying to play tricks on you and make you say naughty things.
Yes. Yes. I was just trying to think of one in my head and one did not pop in immediately. Yes. I was about to say something involving balls, but all right, continue.
So I saw breathe nitrox and immediately I thought nitrous oxide. I know some things. That must be what that is. Hey, breathe nitrox in San Francisco. Are you a dentist? What does it mean? He writes me this TLDR message was it Facebook? Telling me, no, I'm not a dentist. I happen to be a scuba diver. And nitrox is a mix of oxygen that allows me to stay underwater longer with less risk of getting bent on the way up so that I can do underwater photography of sea slugs.
I'm just like, oh, okay, you know, send the Facebook message and you don't really expect a reply.
That is Breathe Nitrox. His real name is Brian.
Eventually, you know, I get one, you know, a few days later. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And, you know, I like the interactive experience of the live rides. That's one of the reasons why I was taking her class.
Not because he liked my class. It's just because it was live. He actually was not really a fan at first.
Okay. Okay. That's good. I think that's better. Yeah.
Yeah, she grew on me.
Like, who are you? This did spark a conversation, though, because I've always wanted to see the octopus underwater.
Oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the reason that Christine wants to see an octopus, why she's so interested in them, is completely fascinating.
They can think, they have cognizance in each one of their eight arms. So they encounter a situation, a problem, a conflict, and they have eight different perspectives.
Oh.
Imagine there's a thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a crab they want to get, right? And their eight different arms have eight different ways of figuring out how to get what they want or how to get away from something mm-hmm. that's attacking them. And they are flexible and transformative. They adapt with some of them color and shape and make themselves look like other things. They fascinate and intrigue me in their adaptability and the idea that if human beings could just consider as a way of living that there are always more perspectives than yours. So we start sharing, talking just sporadically. You know, I always wanted to scuba dive. He's telling me all about that. Eventually, he's telling me he's wanted to ride a bike outside. I could talk forever about bikes.
And months later, he shows up to take a ride in person at the Peloton studio on 23rd Street in New York City. At this point, the two of them had only messaged back and forth a few times, but each of those times was fun and interesting and surprising.
And he walks into the studio one day and says, hi, I'm Breathe Nitrox from San Francisco. I'm like, oh, you're the diving guy. Cool. Relationship-wise, I'm not looking. Like, and I'm gay.
Yeah, two things. Two things. Yeah, yeah.
He's just a writer. I don't mean it like that, but he's, you know, I'm like not, and I was in a decided state for 2 years of nobody. Nobody's getting in. It's me and my daughter. That's it. I've got a moat around me. Nobody can get in. I was, you know, I'm just nurturing a relationship with a writer.
Their relationship stayed casual for months and months. Brian was just moving to New York from San Francisco. And to stay in shape, he kept taking classes inside the Peloton studio. He took a lot of instructor's classes, but frankly, he was really taking a lot of Christine's classes.
Oh, cool. He's here again. He's a fan. Obviously, if you're sticking around for my class twice, you might be into what I'm saying. So that, you know, that means something to me, to know that I'm being heard and that the way I teach my class is landing with someone who's going to come at 8 a.m. and then wait around for the 9 and then take my 10 again. I'm that's cool. You're cool. And then there was like some just social gatherings that we ended up at together.
Yeah, there were a few random ones. It was one where it was another rider had like their 500th ride or some.
Yeah.
It's not some big milestone. And then we went out with a group of probably 20 people.
Yeah. We just got chatting. The long and short of that, without getting like granular, is that we became friends. We became really, really good friends. It got to a point where I felt like, I think this is the kind of person who's going to be a forever friend.
What was the thing that you were like, oh yeah, I want this person around. I don't want to, yeah.
The ease of conversation. Ease. Yeah. The ease of conversation, the respect. The curiosity, just an attitude of curiosity that we had about each other and life in general, really aligned. I remember feeling like, it was just like, do you want to go for a bike ride? Yes. Do you want to learn to scuba dive? Yes. Here's all the information you need. Here's all the, like, boom. And everything was like, what about this? Yes. And this too. And just went on like that. And I remember sitting with my friend Rachel on a couple of occasions and feeling out of nowhere. It wasn't out of nowhere because it had been like accumulating like water in a glass just coming up, and finally it spilled over out of my face.
Right out of your face.
I realized in like words in my head that had been getting louder and louder and louder, I love this guy. I love this guy. Like, I love him. He's going to be a forever friend. And then it got bigger and bigger. And I remember sitting and finally telling her, I said, I don't know why these words are in my head. And my life's work is about words. Self-talk. You know how I teach on the bike about how you're talking to yourself. I do workshops about self-talk. My self-talk was, you actually love him, and like you have to say something. And so I said to Rachel, I am in love with him. Here's the sentence that's freaking me out, but not, I'm gonna marry him.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I was like, I don't understand. I'm saying these words in my head. Like, I keep repeating, you're gonna marry this guy. You're gonna marry this guy. You're gonna marry this guy. She says, as she's spitting wine out of her face, he's a complete, what's it called? A snort? She's like, okay, there's a couple problems. You're gay. And he is a man. Like, I know, and yet I think it's going to be fine. I don't know why. I've never felt anything more true to my gut than that. And later, we were hanging out and we're in the middle. I don't know. We were talking about food or something, recipes. And I say, we got to talk. Tell your reaction.
Yeah, Brian. Yeah, Brian. Also, before your reaction, where were you at this point? Were you in love, or did you think it wasn't even a possibility because she was gay?
Well, that's actually a big part of the next part of the story. So we, unknown to each of us at the time, we were kind of going on unparalleled paths of our feelings. And, I realized I was developing feelings for her. And I'm usually a pretty rational person. And, you don't develop feelings for someone that will not be able to return them in the same way, because that's just, self-defeating and silly. And you're not setting yourself up for success. So I had been ready for us to have a conversation. I was sure she was going to initiate it because she was going to say at one point, dude, I can tell you're crushing out. You're developing feelings. I cannot return these things. You got to calm the hell down. Like, if we want this friendship to continue, like, you can't do that.
Uh-huh.
I was prepared for that conversation. I had rehearsed this conversation many, many times. When she said, we got to talk, I was like, oh, here it is.
Yeah, you excused yourself to the bathroom and prepared to say.
Prepared myself, rehearsed my lines.
And what were your lines going to be?
Well, my lines were going to be, yes, I understand. I have allowed myself to develop these feelings, and I know it's going to jeopardize our relationship. Preserving the friendship is the most important thing, and we'll do whatever I need to do in order to preserve that. Because I know you were going to be a forever friend, regardless.
Yeah. I'm crying.
I'm crying. I'm crying now.
For real. But what actually happened was you went to the bathroom, you rehearsed that, came back, and I said, I am in love with you. And I have the urge to kiss your face. I can't explain it. It just is. And you said,
not the conversation I was expecting to have. Pleasant surprise. And,
and you told me all that stuff.
Oh, I told you the whole conversation I was expecting to have.
Yeah. Oh, God. So did you kiss his face?
Yeah, I did kiss his face. And I'll never forget that kiss. I'll never, like, it's still, every kiss is like that kiss.
Oh, guys. This, like, I mean, again, like I said, it's just, I'm picturing Brian in the bathroom being like, okay, all right. You're going to apologize. And then you just bring it around the other way. It's amazing.
It was magical moment. It was a really magical moment. And, you know, one of the things about the friendship that a very big point that you had said, Brian, was it is hard to make friends in your 40s. You know, in your 20s and 30s, other friends are going off, like having children and getting busy and then creating new circles of friends with people who are dealing with similar things. And your groups of friends change. And when you're not the one who's got the children, then you're in a different place. So he was like, it's so hard to make friends at this age, and to have found someone that you feel like you're going to be forever friend with is really, really, like, extra valuable. And I really valued that.
I love this part of the story. So they finally admit that they're both in love. She kisses his face. And then a pandemic happens. Wah, wah, wah. More on that after a quick break.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian and Christine moved into a New York City apartment together in 2019.
Yeah, we got that together in 2019. And then a year later, we were locked in the apartment for the next 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So that's unexpected. How does that change everything?
Nothing makes it better.
It's great.
It was fantastic. Oh my God. When you start going back to work, occasionally I was like, no, go. I'll make you lunch. Stay here. It was actually wonderful. And you even referred to it when you finally proposed. Yeah. We had a great time. I mean, I feel bad saying that we had such a great time. And it was actually an incredibly tragic time for so many people. We're very cognizant of that, but we thrived.
I think that's fair to say, you know, so many people had a terrible pandemic. It was a tragedy for the world, but there were also moments of joy and moments where people did thrive. And, you know, I personally loved being with my kids the way that I was during the pandemic. And yeah, there has to be a way to talk about it, I think, where we acknowledge the tragedy, but also, you know, we acknowledge the joy that it brought, because if we take away the joy, then, you know, we're just discounting so many things that happened then.
Yeah.
And your daughter moved in with us for a bit.
Oh, that's a huge part of this.
If you can't hear Brian, he said that the big change was when Christine's daughter moved in with them during the pandemic.
She had been at school in Philadelphia, and it just became clear that, like, we got to get her out of there, and brought her to the apartment, turned our bike training room into a temporary bedroom. And she, when our relationship started and you were hanging out at my apartment, and I, like, sort of came out the other side of that revolving door and said, "So, Victoria, like, you'd meet Brian. He's a man, and I kiss him." And I know that's a little weird where we've been for the last 10 plus years, but this is happening. And she's like completely whatever, but she was very resistant to somebody in our space. It didn't matter who he or they would be. And so he couldn't say anything to her at that time without her taking it as mansplaining. And I was like, he's not mansplaining to you. He's actually just telling you some factual things. And it took a little, you know, she just was like not really open to it. And when she came and stayed with us for several months during the pandemic, everything changed. I'd be making dinner and she'd be hanging out there you know, news is on. She was actually interested in the news. And I was like, who is this child of mine? And then a conversation would start between them. And she had all these intelligent things to say. And I was like, I don't even know her anymore. Like, who is this? And they're having a great conversation. And I'm like, I'm just gonna like hide in the woodwork back here and let this, wow, this is, I can't even participate in this conversation.
Oh, that's like, fun though. That's so nice just to watch them.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And now it's like, I mean, it's not like dad, but like, it's, you are the most consistent, reliable, steady rock male figure she's ever had in her life. It's kind of beautiful.
That is beautiful. Brian, what was it like for you?
Yeah, it was really interesting watching or experiencing the relationship develop, because as she said, you know, when I first entered the picture, there was literally not a thing I could say that had any value. Because of course, I've never been a teenager or a 20-year-old. I've never had to find an apartment. I've never had to apply to college. I've never never had to figure out how to get the cable hooked up. You know, there was no value I could add based on things that I've actually experienced. So there was a lot of resistance at first, but I think that all really did change when she moved in with us for those several months. No, we just developed our own relationship, and we could have conversations, and we would often disagree, but you know, we could disagree respectfully and say why we thought the things that we thought. And I would sometimes challenge her and press her buttons a little bit and be like, well, why do you think this? Why do you unquestionably accept this? What about X, Y, and Z? And, you know, she wouldn't really back off her position, but she would go back and think, which is all I could ask for.
That was really great.
Right before the pandemic had started, Christine won the team sprint at the Masters World Championships. That is a big, big, big deal in the cycling world. And that night, she went out to dinner with one of her teammates, and the two of them were talking about milestones, about what they meant, and about what they wanted to do next.
You know, the next big milestone that was coming up in my life was my 50th birthday. And I was thinking, I want to have a really significant party for my 50th birthday. Like, I want to have a dinner party, like things I want to do, things you want to do before you're 50. And it occurred to me that I would like to be married to him before I knew I wanted to marry him already. But I was, suddenly in my head, I was like, gosh, I would really love to be married to you before I'm 50. As this thought is coming up in my head, I'm thinking, and my eyes are leaking again, I'm thinking that is completely unfair to say. You can't say that. It's unfair because you're putting a timeline on his heart, which is like an ultimatum of some kind. And that's completely unacceptable. And yet, because I had expressed that I had this thought and I knew what I wanted before I was 50, and he saw the emotional reaction in me, I had to tell him. I was like, I can't tell you this. It's not fair to tell you this, but I have to tell you this because you saw I had a feeling, an emotion came across me. And so I explained that I knew it was completely unfair to say this, but this is what I thought. And you took my hand and you said, I think that could happen. So in a way, I kind of proposed to you.
You did. You did.
In a way.
In a way, I let you know what I want.
Where was my ring?
Well, it is fair, right? But it was unplanned. That was unplanned. I didn't know I was going to like suddenly realize, oh, you're turning 50. You want to be married before then to him. Well, then I thought we're going to start looking at rings. Now I'm waiting for a year. Nothing happens. We don't have another conversation about it. And I'm starting to like turn because I'm like, I'm going to be 50. Then you were looking online.
I was looking online, yeah.
But you don't, you're a quiet man. You don't like, you just did not say anything. So one day I'm coming out of the bedroom and I walk past his office. Was the right side of the couch at this point. So his computer is on the arm of the sofa. And as I'm coming out the bedroom, I could see his screen and I saw that there were diamonds on the screen. Like those advertisements. Like if you look at something once,
all the tracking cookies follow you.
Then there's those advertisements everywhere. And so I went and I didn't say anything. Over several months, I see them. And finally, I started to we're watching TV at night and I would be like, God, I really love to marry you. When are you going to propose to me? Are you ever going to propose to me? You should be married to me.
Christine just kept dropping these not so subtle hints. I don't even know if you could call them hints at this point. I mean, they're more like very bold proclamations.
I think I said, when are you going to ask me to marry you? Like, I don't know how this works. Do you ask and then we go find it? Do you find it and then ask me? Like, and established very clearly that I want you to ask me. I want that. For someone who's been pretty non-traditional in very, very many ways, I really thought I need to reckon with myself. Why do you want so intently for him to ask you? Why is that important? You know, it goes against everything sort of that I hold as principles, and it's so tied to all this heteronormative bullshit that I'm not into. There's just a tiny little part of me that still would really crave that moment.
Yeah, we also never know what we want till we want it. I always thought that I would just elope. And then all of a sudden I was trying on wedding dresses and I was like, I want a wedding dress.
It's become this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's the theater.
The theater
the
of
theater
it.
Theater of wedding.
Okay.
Which is very different than the everydayness of marriage.
So you did propose. How did this happen? How did you pull this off?
Oh, wait, there's another hole.
Oh, keep going. Keep going. Yeah, I'm here for all of that.
Shall I, or would you like to take the wheel?
Oh, you love telling the story so much. Keep telling every chance.
Every chance I get. Oh, my God. So we look at rings. We end up designing a ring together. And the ring, it's a, what's it called? The circle?
Octagon.
No, the circle part.
The halo?
No, the round ring, the round diamond is called a...
The center stone?
There's a name for the cut.
A round cut.
A round cut. I guess that's what it is. It's a round diamond, but it has an octagon-shaped halo. And the octagon-shaped halo is the octopus. The eight sides. For the reminder. The visual symbolic reminder. And then it has... Under the diamond halo, it has a black diamond... mini halo. So it is a double halo. That row of black diamonds on the side is the nod to my dark wave gothy past. It's true to my roots. I had to have an edge. It couldn't just be pretty. It had to have an edge. That was in the fall of 2020.
Fall of 2020.
2020. Yeah. And then, so I thought, Thanksgiving. He's got the ring by Thanksgiving. He's going to propose Thanksgiving. No. All right, well, Christmas, obviously, he's going to hang it on the tree. No. Then New Year's, of course. Like, he's going to go to the roof. We're going to go to the roof, and it's going to be beautiful. Like, maybe.
She even messaged the ringmaker and asked if the ring was ready.
Then Valentine's Day is coming, and he hates Valentine's Day. And so I thought, maybe that's perfect. So you'll make something nice out of Valentine's Day, right? But also 2 days after Valentine's Day, I was having my skin cancer surgery on my face.
Just to clarify what she's talking about a little bit. In 2021, Christine was diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma on her nose.
That played into the urgency for me. I was like, my face is going to change forever. Are you going to stay with me? you know, I don't know, like, what if this cancer thing is bigger than just this nickel sized chunk of flesh off my face, right between my eyes? What if I have a scar? Like, yes, you're still going to love me, but are you going to secretly have inner monologue, right? I think maybe he'll do it right before I go into surgery so that I, while I'm, you know, in pain and my face is messed up, that I'll have something pretty to look at.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, these were my honest thoughts. As judge, I don't know if you're going to judge me for these thoughts.
No, these are fantastic, because these are the kinds of thoughts all of us have. Right? Yes. Yes, 100%.
So he doesn't. Then Mother's Day. And I can't stand Mother's Day. It really irks me. It's like, there's so much built up on it. And so I thought, maybe Mother's Day he'll propose. And he takes me to Per Se. People get proposed to at Per Se. Yeah,
all the time.
They make chocolate eggs that open up and reveal a ring box with a ring in it at Per Se. So I'm like, all right, don't get your hopes up. Just enjoy the dinner. Just get a manicure in case. And we get through the whole dinner and it's beautiful. And I don't even think about it the whole time. Then we're waiting for the cab to get home. And I realize, like, oh, he didn't. And we're driving home in the cab and I'm in the backseat and my face starts leaking again. And I'm trying not to cry, but it's that kind of crying that's like, you're not heaving, you're not sobbing, but your face just won't stop leaking. That kind of crying. Quiet leaking.
Quiet leaking. And, this is like an Indigo Girls song, really. Quiet leaking.
Right. I love it. He's holding me, but I'm not sure you were really cognizant of the swell of emotions I was feeling. I was trying very hard to hide it. Did you realize I was crying?
Yeah, in the car at some point.
You just silently held me while I leaked. And we get home, and then I like went to the bathroom. I locked myself in the spare bathroom. And then I went, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know what... You think all of this to myself, texting Rachel, and finally come out 20 minutes later. And he's there like, honey, what's wrong? And I said, I really want to be married to you. I don't know that I need to unpack it any more than that. But like, I want you to ask me. It just means a lot to me. And I don't know if you have the ring or not. I don't know if something's happened financially. Have we lost everything and you're afraid to tell me? Have I done something? Have you changed your mind? I don't know. I don't know why you're waiting. And I've been having all of these fatalistic ideas. Like, I'm going to walk out the front door and some car is going to hit me in the crosswalk and it could all be done and it will have never happened. And of course, then if that happened, it would never matter, but you'd be really sad. And like,
I don't want you to be sad.
Like, what? Can you please just tell me what are you thinking? I just want to be with you and I want to do this. What's going on? Very, very transparently, like, not angry, just sad. And I just, like, heart naked. And he held me and he said, when the time is right. And I was at, I felt relief and I also felt like, fuck you. At the same time.
I feel that so hard.
The time is right.
You got such a good story out of this.
I did. You win. Okay, fine, you win. So then we find this house.
Yeah. They found this gorgeous house. It was an old Dutch colonial in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where Christine spends a ton of her time for cycling training, and the two of them decided to buy it and fix it up together.
And we're very, very busy with trying to buy this house and all the nonsense that goes with buying a house. And I think when it's finally settled, he's going to propose on the front porch, like the day that we sign. That actually, you had that in mind.
Yeah, no, that was actually one of the plans. And then we literally did not have a single night where you weren't racing or training or...
Or you had a race.
I was on a call.
Then we're planning my birthday. And I'm like, well, here we are. I'm not going to be married to you by the time I'm 50, but maybe he'll propose. And at this point, I've thrown my hands up. Like, not in a negative way, in a release way. Like, let it go. When it happens, it will happen. It'll happen in his way, in his time, and just shut up and get out of the way. And we're planning a big dinner party here, but that was a couple days after my birthday. For my actual birthday, we were in Brooklyn, and we went to a Michelin star tasting menu restaurant called Aska. He finally asked me at Aska. That was not a thing, though. That was not like the place. Yeah. But you were like, on my birthday, you're finally going to do it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, clock. You're like, if I don't do it now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Brian, I've got to ask you. So it's just, what was the delay? What took so long?
Yeah, it wasn't the right time. Like I was trying to figure out when to do it, you know, between, you know, winter and in summer, and it just didn't find the right time. And then I really did plan to have it happen at some point at the house, and there was no time. Like, there was not a single night where we were not running around like crazy people at all. So yeah, your birthday it was.
There you go.
That's where we got there.
And we were all dressed to go to dinner. I had surrendered. And we get through this beautiful meal, and it had poured rain. And we looked out. They have this courtyard in the back. It was beautiful seeing that rain hammer down during the dinner. And it finally cleared when dinner was over. And I said, why don't we go out to the courtyard? And then you went to the restroom. When he was coming back from the restroom, I saw this huge square box in his pocket. And I was like,
yes, now it's time.
I think it's going to happen. Unless that's like a weird wallet.
Which at this point, it could have been. It could have been any.
A cube-shaped wallet.
A cube-shaped wallet.
Yeah.
I don't know. And we go out, and we ask the waiter to take some pictures of us. And then the waiter goes away. And then you turned to me, and you put your hands on my shoulders. And I was like, oh, my God, it's happening.
The waiters were in on it.
They knew.
They knew.
Okay. And then you pulled it out of your pocket, and you went down on one knee, and you said words.
Words
that I was waiting to hear for so long. And I have no idea what he said. I do remember, because we discussed it later, you said things about if we could get through the pandemic so flyingly, that we could get through anything. But what do you remember?
That was the gist of it. You know, we talked a bit about our, you know, where we started, and you know, how we were locked in an apartment for 2 years, and how plenty of other people probably would have killed each other. But no, we actually we enjoyed each other's company so much, and that was amazing, and we should keep doing that.
Yes. And then he put the ring on my finger, and then the waiter came out and took pictures. The fact that I put a lot of symbolism on it raining on very special occasions, because my father, who I lost 20 years ago, he had a business of basement waterproofing, and he prayed for rain all the time. When it rained, he was like, yes, I can pay the bills this month. When it rains, I can pay for college. And so the fact that I like to have that symbolism in my head that he somehow was like, I see you. This is good.
I'm bringing rain. Yes.
I don't know. you know, we like to attach meaning to certain mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, when it rains, you pay for college. It's very Alanis Morissette is what it is.
There you go. Yes.
There you go. We all know what Alanis Morissette says about rain on your wedding day. Well, we aren't at the wedding day yet, but I'm sure it is a similar sentiment to what it means when there's rain on your engagement day. The wedding, the planning of this beautiful non-traditional wedding, that is a whole other story that we'll get to after another quick break.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court, and what's next. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Christine and Brian planned a gorgeous, non-traditional wedding.
In many ways. Like, it's... We're not, you know, there's no religious terms of, like, we're not drawing vows or promises from any ancient text. Nobody's giving anyone away. There's no garter toss. There's no... She's the flower girl, but she's carrying feathers for my father. Someone's watching over you. So I thought I'll have her drop feathers down the aisle.
Oh no, but I love it because it's so sustainable.
Mm-hmm. And she's bringing the rings. She's like everything.
Say things. You do, you wear a dress, you do all the things.
And dancing and entertainment. Yeah. We are doing like a hand fasting though. That's a pagan Celtic ritual. That's actually where tie the knot comes from. Where as part of the ceremony, you have either a ribbon or a cord that gets wrapped around, tied around your hands together, and then you say things.
Like give it that edge.
And we have this woman, Romy McCloskey, she's embroidering all of these motifs of things that we're passionate about on this ribbon. It is extraordinary. So there's a diving bell for him scuba diving. There's a bicycle. There's calla lilies, which I care about. And there's bumblebees on it because the bee is the symbol of Manchester, where I won world championships. All of these little meaningful symbols are going to be embroidered on there.
Oh, I love this. Oh,
it's gorgeous. Amazing.
Oh, it's beautiful. So there were just, you know, I think it's so interesting when you say traditional, because then you kind of adhere to one single kind of tradition, but there were all of these traditional elements. They were just different traditions.
Yeah. It was like pulling together of things that were meaningful to us. It's very personal. There's lots of symbolism everywhere. Like even on the invitations, there's octagons for the eight perspectives principle. Symbolism. I study theater in college. Very theatrical person. So very, what would you say? Very aware of the theater of wedding, and very here for it, and very aware that the marriage is not the wedding, but the wedding celebrates all the things that are meaningful that you take into your marriage.
Most of the big, all the big decisions have been made. We're kind of in the detail phase right now.
Yeah, like the playlist for the DJ and what songs we're going to have processional and recessional to, and first dance songs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And my final dress fitting is on Sunday. And the dress is completely, like, it is a creation of, like, five different dresses I tried on, fused into one. I found this sustainable bridal atelier, Andre Ciccarelli. Yeah, sustainable bridal. She gets silk that is left over from other companies, and she also, like, out of all of the scraps, she'll make silk-covered buttons. Yeah, it's really, really cool. She has a small sample right now, but she also does completely custom, and her dress is completely custom. She literally drew it on me.
Yeah.
And you are having a custom morning suit, because the wedding is top hat and tails and courage. I hope nobody was stressed out for that. But it was like, let's celebrate to the nth degree, like the most.
A few people will use the occasion to you know, go crazy and let it all out. And,
yeah.
Most people, I think, will just wear whatever. But that's
we fine. Have one major problem, though.
Oh, what is it? What is it? Maybe I can solve
it. We need to figure out where everybody's going to hang their top hats.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We need several coat hooks.
Coat hooks or a top hat table.
A top hat table
or a hat stand, like maybe some hat stands around.
Many.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly hat stands or a hat table. That is a small problem to have. That is a solvable, very solvable problem. And I hope that I hope all the ladies wear top hats too.
Like, you can find fantastic top hats. We found the antique ones for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Silk plush top hats in the boxes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. All right. So you're almost there. You're so close.
Yes.
Oh, so excited for you.
Yeah, literally like 30 days.
30 days. Okay.
Yeah.
I have one last question for you. I could talk to you guys all day, but I want to be respectful of time. And also, I get so hungry. This like fetus, the surprise fetus inside me makes me starving all the time.
Surprise fetus.
But have you seen an octopus yet? Under the water?
We caught a glimpse of one in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. But like, I couldn't, it was like, poof.
Yeah, it wasn't playing.
It wasn't playing, it was hiding. We saw at an aquarium, we spent a lot of time. I hogged the octopus window for a good 15 minutes standing there trying to communicate with it.
We'll go on another dive trip.
We'll go on another
dive trip. There are plenty in Cozumel. A lot of good stuff in Indonesia. That's a good trip.
That's our honeymoon is probably going to be good on luck. A mission to find an octopus.
I love that Christine and Brian's relationship is so founded on curiosity, sharing information, adventures, and experiences with one another. Before they met, Christine had never done scuba diving, and Brian was not a big outdoor biker. But of course, all of that has changed.
So you've become a diver now. Are you diving? Have you done the nitrox diving?
I have had two trips and what is about like 30 dives?
Something like that.
I'm about 30 dives to your 300
like and four something.
Four something.
Yeah.
And he's, oh my God, you should see him underwater. He's like a dancer with this massive camera, which the lights on it that are articulated, it extends about 6 feet. And he's 6'4" and he's like turning it sideways and going through crevices. And oh my God, he's so... It's so incredible to watch you in your element underwater. I miss it so much. And I'm there just trying to like float and not kick up the dust and ruin his picture. I've got the little like rental, like,
yeah, the like underwater GoPro. Pole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Brian, have you started cycling outside?
Yeah. No, I started cycling in 2017. I don't have as many bikes as she does yet. I only have two. But no, I have a road bike and a triathlon bike. And
we climbed Haleakala.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, we did that in 2018. 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We went to
Hawaii.
Went to Maui for a week and then we dove for a few days. And then we rode up and down Haleakala on the Thursday or the Friday of the week.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah. It took us about 5 hours. It's only 37 miles, but it's 10,023 feet.
Right. I mean, it's just like this. Yeah.
It's a lot of hairpin turn after hairpin turn. And it goes from being like beach weather bikini to winter clothing. And as we got to the top, the weather turned dramatically. You're like above the clouds. It was such an epic experience. To do that together was, I don't know, it's just like, I could go on about it forever. Yeah. So we go all the way under the water and we go all the way to the top of the mountain. I can't wait till we can get really back out there in the world.
Yes.
Finally on the cusp of it.
Finally. We're so close. So close, guys. Well,
yes.
Enjoy the wedding and all of it so much. And I'm so glad we got to have this talk because this was so joyful. This just made my Friday wonderful.
This episode was hosted and reported by Joe Piazza, with special thanks to Christine and Brian and the folks at Peloton. Committed is produced by Ramsey Yunt. The executive producers are Joe Piazza and Tyler Klang. Theme song by Tristan McNeil. For comments, suggestions, or to be part of the show, give us a call at 404-996-1173. That's 404-996-1173. Or send us an email at joe@committedpodcast.com. That's joe@committedpodcast.com. Committed is a production of iHeartRadio and produced in our studios located in Atlanta, Georgia. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.